you want something more, I mean more meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences? Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes to any of that, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they ever make, the purchase or sale of their home, could be both rewarding and lucrative for you. Exit Realty's revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology provide you with the tools and resources you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call Exit Realty Low Country Group today at 843-619-3005. That is 843-619-3005, or visit join.exitlowcountry.com and make your exit today. So good morning and great morning to you guys. Hey, welcome to another fabulous episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host, Corbin J. Miller, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, if this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat, because our mission here at Exit Strategies Radio Show is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education, guys. We are legacy building around here. That is what we do. Those are the building blocks, guys, of our future. Legacy building, that is what we do, all right? So, guys, look, I want to give a quick shout out to all the people that tune in to us faithfully here in the Charleston market, those who catch us when they're coming and going and passing through the area. I hear so much from you guys that you're enjoying the content, enjoying the conversations that we're bringing to bear and on air to deliver to you unprecedented education in the real estate realm, all right? That's what we're doing here at this show. Guys, look, we've been having the best, and today is no different, all right? We've been bringing you amazing guest speakers, amazing people who are sharing what they're doing, not only in their business, but also providing encouragement. So today what we're doing, and this is a little new for us, so this is a little bit new format that you guys are seeing, but this is our resident expert series. So when you see these videos, when you hear this content, I want you to know that you are witnessing a resident expert, meaning they are with us here at Exit Realty Low Country Group, or they are part of the Exit Realty family, our resident experts. So today, guys, I'm very honored. I'm very esteemed. I'm very humble. Look here, to have with us none other than Kashana Wine with Exit Realty Low Country Group. Kashana, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am incredible. Thank you for asking. Kashana, tell our listeners a smidgen about you. You're a Charleston native, right?
I am a Charleston native, originally from Johns Island. Grew up in North Charleston for a while and never left. Most of my family's from Johns Island.
So when you got here in North Charleston, it was like something just grabbed hold to you and wouldn't let you go?
Good.
That what you're going to say? All right. Kashana, one, you are, and for our listeners, guys, I want you to understand some things. When I talk about our people in-house, our culture here, and our belief very simply is that we want agents who are committed to helping and serving people, who lead with their heart first. Business is business, don't get me wrong, but nonetheless, we want to make sure that we're leading with our heart, that we're setting out to help and serve people, because we understand that when you serve, when you give, then we'll be given unto. Kashana, really, in my opinion, to be very transparent, you exemplify that. So thank you for being who you are. But if you don't mind, what attracted you to real estate to begin with?
So I love helping everyone. And I sit down and I talk with my mom. And she was like, why don't you try real estate? While going to college, I do have a paralegal degree. The teachers try to get me to do real estate paralegals.
Okay.
So she was like, why don't you try real estate?
So you jumped in. Okay. So you have become, around our office, a go-to and a resource for a particular program. And this particular program, on occasion, listeners, I know that you guys see people who put on workshops and seminars for it. You know, I'm familiar with the program. I've been around a little while. So I've definitely done a number of transactions over the years. But you have become really this expert in this because you've got to the place where you really are more hands-on than probably most other agents that I know anywhere as it relates to. So tell our listeners what program I'm talking about.
You're talking about the USDA Direct program. I went and I took the packages class so I could understand more of the program, more of what they're looking for, and understand the process a lot more.
Okay. So the USDA Direct program, for our listeners, guys, is the 502, I think it's 502B, isn't it?
Just
502 program, which is in the code of the Rural Development Program of USDA, this one little section that a program that deals with homeownership in rural areas, right?
Correct.
So what is the purpose of this particular program?
The purpose of this program is to provide home ownership to those who won't necessarily get home ownership with traditional lending. This program helps very low income family members get into homes and actually help with subsidizing the mortgage payments by either extending the years you're in a mortgage or providing some type of subsidy.
Interesting.
To help with payment.
So basically it is, and please forgive this for our listeners, but please forgive this, but basically it's affordable housing in the country. Is that about right?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay. So you touched on a few different things. For our listeners, guys, I want to make sure that you guys get a fundamental, and we'll get a little bit into some of the other things that required along with the program, et cetera. But this is for, again, someone who's looking to live in what is classified a rural area. So for the Charleston area, give me some examples of what areas are considered to be rural.
Mouse Corner, Hollywood, some parts of Johns Island, which that's creeping away pretty fast because of the building. You got Ridgeville, Knightsville, Orangeburg, Utahville, Walterboro, definitely Walterboro.
Okay.
Areas like that.
All right. And one of the things that USDA kind of really they consider is the census tract. So the population in a given area, and if there's more density or what have you, then in a given area, then obviously that area is not going to be considered to be rural. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. That makes perfect sense. So let's talk about this. The program itself, what kind of house can someone buy and still qualify?
What is considered to be a modern house for that area? It used to have square footage restrictions. There's no longer any restrictions on it. You can now get a pool, but your insurance has to fit within the guidelines that's provided for you to get that pool.
So what I just heard you say is, so my cousin would say this thing to me when he was planning to move here from New York. He referred to as say, I want to come down south. I want to get one of the mini McMansions. So it ain't quite a McMansion, but it could be a nugget to a McMansion. Is that about right?
It could definitely be a nugget, but it won't be a McMansion.
That is priceless. So right now, in under this program, they're really looking at, so the modesty piece that you referred to is not based on the size of the house anymore as much as it is on the price of the home. Am I correct?
The price and size. Say, for instance, you have a family of four, but you see this house that you want two bedrooms, and just say it's you and three kids, two boys and a girl. You can't buy a two-bedroom house because it fit inside your price range. You still have other requirements that needs to be looked at. And some people might say, well, it's a two-bedroom. My kids are moving out. They're looking at what you need now. And then we can figure out the future at a later time.
Okay. All right. That makes perfect sense. So this process for USDA is somewhat, and I don't want to frame it as being tedious, because tell me if I'm wrong, but it's a rigid process or a direct process, if you will, pardon the pun. But nonetheless, it is still a process to get through pretty easily once you understand what you got to do. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's talk about that. What does that look like?
So you have your application process. You either can do it with the packager or you can do it with the USDA Direct. Right now, there is currently a backlog. So you're looking anywhere from 3 months to a year, most times. You need to collect all papers if you're using a packager or if you have a USDA loan specialist directly. Keep your check stubs and bank statements in there constantly, only because it's going to help them get through the process faster. And also, if you don't, you get a timeline, 10 days, hey, I need this done. If you don't get it in 10 days, then you're either put to the bottom of the stack or they put you in as ineligible to get the loan and you have to start all over from scratch. If you have cash apps and stuff, be willing to write a letter explaining where these cash apps are going or why, because they really want to know, hey, if I give you this house and even though I'm helping you with it, are you going to be able to afford this house with all the extra money coming in or coming out? And they also don't want to be like, okay, well, you have a side business that puts you over the income limit because you have all these cash apps coming in. So that's one thing I always say is keep an eye on what's going in and coming out of your accounts, because you are going to have to write a letter explanation explaining what these transactions are.
That right there probably will take me over a little bit. And for our listeners, guys, we're going to swing out a little bit and we're going to come right back in. But the reason why I refer to you as our resident expert on this is because not only you know that, but you sit down with consumers with their bank statements. Hey, let's go through here. Because look here, if you got the gas man in your Cash App or whatever it is, look, let's be real. But you got this in your Cash App where you're sending people money for whatever you might be sending them money for. That needs to be factored into your budget. And if that is a constant thing, or maybe you are the person that's receiving the Cash Apps, if that's a constant thing, then that needs to be considered in, because to be very direct about it, you may be over the income for eligibility, or on the other side of it, you may not be able to afford home ownership because you're putting out so much money in whatever habits or hobbies or whatever it is that you have. Is that fair?
That's for you.
Okay. What do you suggest that people do to offset or overcome that? No more gas?
No more gas. If you don't really need it and you're looking to purchase a home, let's put it off for a second. Mm-hmm. I know everybody likes to look pretty. $500 hairdos, we buying a house. Yeah, you may be able to afford it. But when you're asking for other people's money, they want to know, hey, it's going to be my house payment versus this $500 hairdo look day. You have to be realistic. Because if you had somebody coming to borrow $300,000 or better from you, would you want them to be able to show, hey, I can pay this back and I know how to prioritize? So that's basically what it is.
So what I just heard you say, if you get your hair done for $500, you need to sleep upright for about 6 months. That's about right.
About probably 6 months.
About 6 months.
Yeah.
Let's see, slip straight up. Okay. I got it. Mm-hmm. So this process, that's one of the first things that you start collecting all the information. So you collect the income information on the front end, pay stubs, tax return,
credit reports. You do need your credit scores, and you can go about it getting it multiple ways, paying for it or trying to get it the free way, which will take longer. And I'm trying to go with the checklist.
No
money order for $30.
Okay, that's the application fee, correct?
That's the credit check
fee. Credit check fee, okay.
It's the credit check fee. And bank statements, tax return, check stubs. Yeah.
Okay. Bank statements are in there because we want to make sure. And you're collecting this information. So pay stubs, what do you need? A month of pay stubs? 2 months of pay stubs?
It's supposed to be a month of pay stubs. If your hours aren't consistent, I always tell them, give me 2 months so I can have an average or figure out about where you are versus, oh, well, this last month, you didn't make any money, but you didn't make money because maybe during the wintertime, your job doesn't work. So a lot of rural workers won't have consistent hours during the wintertime. I had a client that actually had this issue. The job was switching hands and the old job just took some hours to try to do what they do with finances and just gave them the bare minimum to get work done. Mm-hmm. But now that the job has already switched hands, her hours is back where it needs to be. So now the process actually continued on versus us having to put it at a stop.
And then start
that change your hours.
That makes perfect sense. So once all this information is kind of gathered, if you will, initially analyzed, and you as a packager, again, as our resident expert, mm-hmm. you look through and, okay, look, this looks like you may need this information to mm-hmm. add to it. Then that gets submitted to USDA. Is that correct?
Correct. Well, it has another layer of protection. It goes through another division in USDA that double checks everything, then it gets sent over to the packager. the packager is going to enter this information, review it. And once they make sure everything qualifies, pull credit check and everything, they may ask you for updated check stubs, because if you had a big difference in hours, they want to make sure that, hey, well, we sell at 40 hours, 32 hours, however many hours you're turning in. And they need issue a certificate of eligibility.
Okay. So that COE, certificate of eligibility, all right? What does that look like from the agent side, which you are as well? But when we get that, kind of serves as our pre-approval letter. It defines what information is in it.
It defines how much you're approved for, the amount your insurance and taxes should fall within in order for the loan to be processed. What I always say is we have an idea of what insurance is in South Carolina. We can look up online and see the taxes. That's the difference between a good realtor or just an agent. What will end up happening is you will get a purchase amount and you will go ahead and you would purchase in that price range. What I have done with clients, because I know taxes, they may give you $1,500 taxes. Like being in Walterboro, you may be able to find a property with $1,500, but you may have $18,000 to $2,000 a year property tax. So what we do is we adjust the numbers to make it work. So if they tell you $3,000 a month need to go towards taxes and insurance, if I have to have this insurance at $2,000 and the taxes at $2,000, then I need to find an insurance company that can give us what we need for $1,000.
Gotcha. So basically, it's given, got to balance it out. So if your letter says, in another way to put this for our listeners, guys, if your letter says taxes and insurance escrow should be this dollar amount per month, if you got one of them numbers a little bit higher than what you would need for it to be to fit, you need to figure out how you're going to offset the other number. Now, you got way more latitude on insurance than you do on property taxes.
Definitely.
So you can shop the insurance companies, change the coverage a little bit. And that's the advantage of having someone who knows and is creative in their thinking, because at that point in time, they can help you to navigate that process. Maybe this particular insurance company, maybe it's your favorite insurance company. Mm-hmm. That may not be the insurance company that's going to give you the better rate for this purchase. So you switch insurance companies, get to the rate that you need. You can always change your insurance in the future. But when you qualify and close, you have to qualify and close where the numbers are. Because if you don't, then you're not going to qualify, which means that you're not going to be able to close, right? So we want to make sure that we have that correct. So altogether, from, you know, you said they have a backlog currently. But once you got that COE, look here.
Once we get that COE.
It's time to look for houses, ain't it?
Time to look for houses.
Okay, so let's talk briefly about, we already touched on modesty, so the size, price points, all that kind of stuff. What are the things that when you go looking for a house that you're looking to do a USDA direct purchase on, what does that look like? And what I mean is the condition of the house. What condition does the house need to be?
It needs to be in livable conditions. What I can say from experience, plumbing, electrical, and roof. That's their main concern. If it's written in that inspection report, it's going to have to be checked. It's going to have to be tested. You have to get a specialist out. Another thing, roof. If it looks or if it's not of age, meaning 10 years or younger, they may require for that roof to either be inspected by a roofer, just to make sure you're not moving into the home and have to turn around and make a $10,000 repair, $10,000 or better repair for a roof within the first 2-3 years.
So one of the things in that, so for our listeners, and maybe you're a seller, right? So maybe you're a seller, you got a buyer that was brought to you. Trustfully, you're working with an agent. You got someone who is governing, managing your transaction from your side. And there's an agent perhaps on the other side. Maybe they bring a buyer in. That's what they're looking for and asking for. The reason is USDA's job as a direct funder. And we want to make sure that you understand they are a direct funder. That's what they do. They're funding this loan directly with government dollars. It is not a mortgage process. It is, hey, this is the money. Boom. Here you go. There it is right there. So when that's happening, they're looking to make sure that the consumer is in good shape. Because if they have a year later, now barring a catastrophe, act of God, nature, etc., barring that, if something were to happen to that roof, it failed just simply out of mere age, and that consumer now has that significant expense, they may not be able to make the mortgage payment, and then they may default. And if they default, then that's a whole nother thing. So that's what they're trying to avoid. So that's something you guys need to consider. But then on the other side, one thing for those of you who are looking for a specialist, someone who is familiar with and knows the process, one of the things you want to, that's the advantage of having your own agent. That's the advantage, because they know that going in, when they walk the property, look at the roof, we might have an issue or problem here. We may need to figure out if we can address this on the front end so we don't get tied up in the transaction and find out later that we're stuck.
And I do want to clarify something for sellers. It doesn't have to be a 3-year-old. They don't want no shingles missing. They don't want it to look like a wet spot. They don't, if you use my inspectors, they walk through to make sure, hey, we may not have a problem with this, but if there's any issues, they do mark it, so it's not.
Good. Let's say got approval. We found house. We're on the way to closing. We got inspections. We're good with inspections. What does the rest of this process look like?
Making sure paperwork's signed, making sure all the documents are updated. So they're going to ask for more check stuff just to make sure you ain't put your job in the middle of the process. It's just like traditional lending, but it's more scrutinized to make sure their invest is protected.
Good deal. So one of the things, and Deshaun, I think that you've had this. I know we talk about it around the office at times. This program, where it is as far as where it's layered in the government and stuff, when there are issues with the budget and all that kind of stuff, when they can't get that stuff together, let's find something to knock on around here so that won't happen. But when that happens, does that impact the ability to be able to close if you're a buyer in a transaction?
It does. What I've done personally is we don't do 45-day closing. I start at 55 days, and I always let the agent know, because a lot of agents aren't aware of the program or what the program all entails. So I let them know, hey, if funding is put at a halt for any reason, my government's back fussing again with their problem. Our money ran out. We're just waiting on grants to come in. Hey, I may need an extension for 10 to 15 days because I have to wait for funds to be in. But do know when the funds are in, my client is on the list and her funds will be approved as soon as the funds are available.
Okay. All right. So technically, while there could be a delay, once funding is made available again, their process is very quickly. It's not got to go back to underwriting. It's just a matter of, hey, this loan is sitting here. This is ready to fund. As soon as the money is available, here's a check or here's a wire to the closing attorney. And then you can go ahead and get in and get everybody to sign and get closed.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So what are, for our listeners, guys, look, this one you may need to pick up on the other side because we want to make sure that you guys get this information. All right. So please make sure that you go to our website, Exit Strategy Radio Show. I want you to look for this episode. I want you to listen to it in its entirety or pick up where, quote unquote, where we are right now, just in case, because again, we are definitely getting towards the end. But I want to make sure I ask this question of you because I don't want to leave it and let it linger. When people are considering programs such as the 502 USC Direct, what's the advantage in doing so?
The advantage is for the income brackets. I say the advantage is homeownership. And traditionally, if you can't pay $23,000 monthly payment and you could come get the same house and possibly pay $1,200-$1,500 because of the interest rate. One, the interest rate is always lower than what's national out there.
This market.
I think just being able to purchase at home,
okay,
you normally won't be able to.
So it's an advantage. So I'm going to speak this for those who may know her, you know, locally, Patty Scarfile, founder, first president of Carolina One. She's been saying this thing in context around me and some meetings and stuff that we've been in about a hand up, not a hand out. So this is an opportunity to put a hand out, lift someone up in the home ownership that otherwise may not have been able to achieve it. But let's go on the other side, because we're going to talk about the pros. Look here, we got to make sure we mention the cons. So what is the cons? Is there anything that you can think of that would be, okay, this is why you may not want to do this program?
I won't say it's so much of a con, but I would say is something that needs to be spoken about. There is a recapture at the end of the life of the loan if you receive subsidy. If, for instance, every month your mortgage was supposed to be $1,200, but you're only paying $300. So you have about $400 in subsidy. It's a formula that they use to calculate that. And you may have to pay, say, they say, all right, we provided you with $4,000 in subsidy out of line for your loan. For whatever the reason is, just to keep numbers clear, you need to pay this back. It's not per se what they gave you per month. They have a whole formula. It depends on the appreciation of the house, how much in it. So it's a formula that they use.
But the reality is that the program affords the opportunity for someone who otherwise may not be able to qualify, the ability to be able to qualify, make a home purchase, to begin to build and accumulate wealth. So it starts that process for many people. Over the years, I've had people, and if you don't mind, the last USDA direct person that you closed, you remember what their mortgage payment was roundabout?
Without subsidy, 12, and they're at...
What was our purchase price on the home?
364.
Look here, that almost made me fall. That almost made me fall, slap, slam out this chair.
I want to say 364-ish.
Okay. So legitimately, it is saving people money on their purchase. Now, the only caveat, now let's be fair, listeners, look, got to get it.
With subsidy.
Go ahead.
They're only paying about $800, $900.
So with subsidy, they're paying less than $1,000 a month.
Correct.
On a $300,000-some-odd home. And that was within the last 12 months where interest rates have been
definitely
ridiculous.
That's one of my birthday babies.
That's one. Okay. So let's be real in it. So for listeners, guys, look, you got to get this, all right? So understand, you got to buy in a rural area. So you ain't using this and buying West Ashley, downtown Charleston, in Mount Pleasant, in North Charleston, in right in Somerville, stuff like that. You got to get further outside of those areas in order to. And everybody's situation is unique. There's no one size fits all. So let's be very fair and clear in that as well. So someone wants to explore this program, Kashawn. They got some questions. Look here.
Give me a call.
Give you a call? Okay. How do they get in contact with you?
You can contact me at 843-801-1874. You can email me at kwine@exitrealtylowcountry.com. Or whether you contact me or not, follow me on Facebook, Kashawn Wine at Exit Realty Low Country, Facebook page, and Instagram.
Okay. So y'all know how to get her. So remember, our resident expert on USDA Direct, the 502 program, guys. Look here, as I've said to you guys for a number of years, for those who know me, those who see me in the street, we do this for real over here, not for play. So please reach out to Kashawn so she can get you on the path to home ownership. So we can take you from I wanna till I gotta. Huh? Y'all like that, ain't it? Huh? Yeah. You like that one, ain't it? You hit me right here. So Kashawn, always ask this of our traditional guests here on the show. And I don't want to, I'd be remiss if I didn't also ask that of you. And I refer to this as our mic drop question. It's that thing that if you had known this when you first started or back yonder when, whatever that may have been, and this is in relationship to your business, what would you have done differently? You know, hindsight is always 20/20. So if you knew then what you know now, what would you have done back then that would have changed the trajectory of your business?
I would have offered this program a lot more because I've had some clients that before I specialized in this program, I didn't understand how to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So me, I would have studied this program a whole lot more, understand the basic level, and I would have used this program.
Interesting. So you would have got on this bandwagon, educated yourself, and all the things that you working to specialize and niche this as an offering to your consumer and client base, you would have started this in the beginning versus within the last 12, 24 months. That is interesting. That is a good story. So guys, look, you've been tuned in to the Exit Strategies Radio Show. Again, this is our resident expert series. Again, Kashawn Wine. Kashawn, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. So please make sure that you reach out to Kashawn for all things USDA Direct. She's your resource. That is what we do. Guys, look here. Y'all know how I feel.
Woo.
Y'all know what I say. Y'all know I always put the two of those things together like this. And I say it to you this way, which is I love you I love you. I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in those streets.